and we celebrate the goodness of the Lord. I'm kicking off this new year, Joy of Jesus New Year to everybody. Thank you for joining us online. And it's very, very important that you get a good start off this year. Now, you already know, if you know me for a little while, I do not really like New Year's resolutions. I don't really like those. I know people do those and have fun with them, and a month later they're sad about them. And, you know, I'm not really about that, because New Year resolution depends on your strength. But if you do something because the Lord is leading you to do it, because He has a plan for you, and He has a way for you. God's way is higher than our ways. And if you do something because the Lord's leading you, then I want to tell you, it doesn't mean that you won't ever get tired, or you might not ever get bored, or may not ever get discouraged, but it means that the Lord is there to give you the strength to carry on. If you just do it for you, like a New Year's resolution, out of the power of your own strength, out of your own flesh, then when you get a place where you kind of get tired and weary, it's out. And you run out of fuel in a hurry. But I want to tell you something. When you're depending on the Lord, He's the one that energizes you. He's the one that strengthens you. If you do it for Jesus, He will give you the strength to carry on. And He's the one that gives you desire. Godly desire is a gift from the Lord. It's not an emotion that you crank up. It's something you receive. But it's a part of grace, because when we talk about grace, we say grace is manifested in your life. It's undeserved favor, unmerited favor. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. But I want to tell you, you spell it grace as J-E-S-U-S. And one part of the way that the manifestation of grace shows up in your daily life. See, not a lot of people teach about that. But I'm telling you, the way that Jesus looks in your daily life, hey, His presence, you're conscious of His presence. You're aware of His power. And you flow in His passion. Passion. You see, it's that passion, that godly desire. It's not something you crank up or earn. It's the Lord from the inside, loving on you and ministering through you. His passion will carry you a long ways. That's the grace of God. That's what Jesus looks like. Now, John Wesley was great about preaching, because he was an amazing preacher, but he was also amazing in the fact that he worked with people in their spiritual growth. And so he was ahead of his time in a number of ways about that. But one of the things that he told his people is that not only do you need to come to the big meetings, but you also need to participate in a smaller meeting. Doesn't that sound like cell group? They didn't call it that. But he had smaller groups, and he'd say, you need to attend a smaller group where there's a lot of openness and oneness, and people can share their successes and their failures and comfort one another and exhort one another. Doesn't that sound like cell group? John Wesley, quite amazing. But I want to tell you, one of my favorites. But one of the other things that he said, and you've heard me say it a number of times if you've hung around for a little while, he would say this: you are responsible to make your soul happy in the Lord every day. He'd say it over and over: make your soul happy in the Lord every day. You need to bring yourself to a place of believing and receiving, celebrating and thanksgiving in the Lord every day. No matter what your circumstances, no matter what the day looks or the week looks. He says, every day, every day, every day. Now I want to tell you, that's encouraging yourself in the Lord every day. Now, I used to teach it like this. Started out with a quiet time. Nothing wrong with a quiet time, a whole lot right with it. But after about a decade, after the 80s and the 90s, I changed the terminology a little bit, because I wanted to emphasize an attitude of approaching the Lord. And I changed it from quiet time to having an encounter with God. Do you see a little difference there? Because I want to tell you something. There's a difference, and there's nothing wrong with taking the Word of God and approaching the Word of God with your mind. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a lot right with that, but there's deeper levels. And if you get up in the mornings and have a quiet time, I'm celebrating you doing that, but I'm saying to you there's a deeper and a greater, more powerful approach. Because there are people that read a verse, read a little devotional, ministers to their mind, and they've accomplished their time with God for the day. Well, I'm just announcing to you that's not enough. As a matter of fact, it's very, very important. It's why I changed the terminology to encounter with the Lord, because not only do you need the Word of God in your brain, you need the Word of God invested in your heart. And the Word of God's real clear, and I'm going to do a little series on this year about how to prepare your heart to walk after God. Man, I'll tell you what, I'm having so much fun with that already. But I'm here to just tell you this, according to what Jesus said, everything that comes out of your mouth, every action that you take comes out of your heart. Is your mind an ingredient? Yes. But it's got to go to the heart. And it's not just having a time to invest the Word of God in your mind. You need to sow the Word of God into your heart, and you need to practice His presence. And that has to do with your approach. And with an encounter with God, you know what? I try to teach people to, you ask, you seek, and you knock. And the way the Scripture brings it out is that it's not a one-time deal. As a matter of fact, it's a continual action, the way it's brought out in the original. And it goes like this: keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And so, see, there's a different attitude of approach. And I want to tell you, that makes a big difference. The way you approach the Lord makes a difference. So, Tim's version goes something like this. And I'm not trying to improve on John Wesley. I'm just trying to use different terminology, because I believe he would agree with this. But my version goes like this: touch the Lord and let Him touch you every day. Touch the Lord and let Him touch you every day. I'm going to put it to you like this, because this is a great emphasis for this time of year, starting out the year. Because a lot of times the way you start is the way you finish. Not limited, but it's great to get off to a great start for 23. And I'm going to say it to you like this: touch the Lord every day. Let the Lord touch you every day. Win the day. I'm telling you, with Jesus, you can win the day. If you look at the year 23, and I can say to you, you know, I wish I could say that nothing, you're not going to be challenged or tested throughout the whole year. I can't say that. I can preach about God's divine protection, but I want to tell you, and I shared this with the in the huddle this morning with the leadership team, is that, you know, the real test is not the attack. I minister to pastors, and a lot of times they tell me, I say, how's it going? Tell me your heartbeat. And they say, well, we're really being attacked. You know, the church being attacked this way. I'm being attacked finances, and there's a relationship situation, and I'm being attacked. And, you know, I say, wait. I'm really being tested. I say, no, wait. We live in a battleground for the rest of your life on earth until Jesus comes. I want to tell you, this is battleground. And so you will be continually attacked while you live on this earth. It doesn't matter how spiritual you are, how mature you are, how overcoming you are, overcomers get attacked. All right. The real test is how you respond to the attacks. And so it's a matter of the heart. Our challenge as believers is to be believing believers. Believers ought to be believing. But when we practice believing, it goes like this, that you're able to continually believe and know God loves me no matter what the attack looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what kind of shaking's going on. I know God loves me. You know what? I know God's good to me. I know His loving kindness and His works are in my behalf. God's in my corner, and this is temporary. Now, you see, you're believing that God's continually loving you, and you're trusting Him, and you're like, see, that's the position of resting in the Lord. And when we practice resting in the Lord, believing and trusting in the Lord, I want to tell you, overcoming is just a matter of short time. Overcoming happens, all right? It's a part of the process, but the real test is how we're going to respond. So win the day. Now, I don't win every day. But when I lose a day, I'm determined to win the day on the next. Now, I want to tell you what happens as you begin to kind of mature and you begin to grow in the Lord. You say, you know what? I might have lost the morning, but I'm not going to lose the afternoon. Do you see that? Because Jesus wants to be your rescue. If you doubt that, look at Psalm 107. You see it over and over again. We find ourselves in a pit. We find ourselves attacked. We find ourselves overwhelmed. We cry out to the Lord, and the Lord rescues us because He's our rescue, and He loves to rescue you. And you know what? Then it talks about giving praise and honor and glory to the Lord. And it's a pattern all through 107 because it happens with Israel, it happens with us over and over and over again. But here's the deal, and I shared this with the huddle this morning. I guess I'm preaching on that right now. But I shared this with the huddle this morning, that you know what? That verse that always follows His rescue and how He rescues us is a verse that talks about walking in thanksgiving and praise and gratefulness and sharing His loving kindness and rescue with others. Hey, listen, it hit me so strong not too long back, is that not only is that our proper response to rescue, but that's how to stay rescued, is by practicing thanksgiving and gratefulness and celebration of the Lord. Because that is a divine protection. That helps us respond right with the heart. Okay, are you with me on that? Do I need to back up on that? Okay, so win the day. Listen. If you lose the morning, have a win mindset because of who Jesus is. All right? It's not based on my failure in the morning. It's based on His win at the cross. If I lose the morning, I can win the afternoon. I'll tell you what maturity looks like. If I lost the hour, I'm going to lean and cry out to the Lord to win the next hour. You see, I don't have to wait till Sunday. I don't have to wait till nighttime till I say my prayers. I want to tell you, the grace of God is available. And so you can win the day every day. Even if you lose an hour, if you lost the hour, win the next hour. Now, I'm going to confess to you real quick that yesterday I lost for 15 minutes. And I want to show you how deep your pastor was. I couldn't find the remote. No, it's not one. It's four of them. I still don't understand that. But I just lost one out of the four, but it wouldn't work, you understand? And son Trent came along to rescue me. The Lord used son Trent. But I want to tell you, even though I lost for 15 minutes, it hit me. You know what? This is a trick. This is a trap. I don't have to stay here. The beautiful blonde will tell you, because she has kind of a thermometer on my attitude, is that even though I lost it for 15 minutes, let's not replay that film. In 15 minutes, you know what? I was rescued. Why? Because of me? No. Why? Because the remote was found? No, not yet. You don't have to wait till it shows up. Okay? I began to go ahead and recenter. Lord Jesus, I cry out to You. Lord Jesus, my heart responds to You with thanksgiving. Even though I can't find it, even though I look for it, it's temporary. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I want to tell you, probably at one time in my life, that had been enough to lose the day. I'm just saying to you, I'm teaching you that 23, you can walk free in 23 because of the price Jesus paid, not because of your goodness or willpower or strength. I want to tell you, you can overcome. Hey, you can be the comeback of the year champion because of Jesus. A saint went on a trip. It's one of those, one of our saints, and not, well, somebody that listens in. Went on a trip to one of the coast, out there and back in a vehicle, and they listened to one of our sermon series. Not just a sermon. I know some of you think those are long, and the series, you know, can be 6 to 9 sermons usually. But I want to tell you something. They listened to the whole series going out, and listen to another one coming back. And I want to tell you the response was. The response was is that it had greater impact on their life than when they listened to one a week. When they listened to all of them back to back. And you know what? There's some purpose in that because we try to link them. You know, they're kind of like trains. Okay, you understand? And so, but when you listen to them back to back, there's a flow. And you're able to, as they were driving, to meditate and to think on and to hearing about Jesus. And you know what? It had greater impact than when they heard it one at a time. Is anybody here shocked by that? There's a saint that is a supervisor, and they're in their truck all day going from project to project to project, checking on crews. And they keep a sermon running. Now, this was with CDs. We still have CDs. Of course, there's greater technology now. But I want to tell you, it can happen with you. And they were listening to a CD, and so every time they turned their truck on, it would start again. They cut it off, it would stop. And so over a week's time of driving and overseeing projects, they would go through a CD sermon three different times. And so they would listen to that sermon over and over again all week long and in little segments. And I get such a kick because they've not just told me this one time, but they'd say it like this: you're better the third time around. Now, you and I understand what they're saying. The more that you listen, the more that you catch, the more that you invest that seed, the more that it stays and takes root. And so they get insight. And so the key is listening about Jesus, hearing and meditating on Jesus. And this was his testimony. He said, you know what? When I listen to that sermon all day long, over and over again all week, he said, you know what? My days go better. Is anybody shocked? My work is more effective. Is anybody shocked? He said this: problems still come, but I find myself in a better position to respond by faith. Why is that? Because of a preacher? No, because he's hearing about Jesus. Plugged in, turned on, tuned in. There was a saint, and I'd love to tell their name, but I didn't ask permission. But you would know them. A saint who was having trouble with discouragement. And they took the praise series. Now, we've done three different series on praise. There's probably 20 sermons on praise, three different series. But as they were traveling, they went through the whole thing back to back. And even at their house, they listened to the whole thing back to back. And so they listened radically. Somebody say radically. And you know what? They had radical breakthrough. By listening and seeking. Wow. Man, glory to God. Because you and I know and we proclaim it's not the messenger, it's the message about Jesus. They kept on listening and listening about Jesus until they had breakthrough, until they were better. Now, let me qualify this real clearly in case someone listening does not know me very well. There's a lot better preachers with a whole lot better vocabulary with the King's English. As a matter of fact, all I speak is East Texan. As a matter of fact, we had someone come to church. I'm not going to tell you when, but a couple came to church, and they had moved here from East Texas, and they had heard about me in East Texas, and so they found the church. They were told, go find the church, and told them where, and they came, and so they showed up. And after sitting here in one service, because they hadn't heard me before, they just came by recommendation, that they talked to me after service, and they said, you're just real country, aren't you? I said, yes, I am. They said, well, you're just plain country. I said, yes, I am. They said, well, we come from country. And I said, okay. They said, well, we've had enough country. We want a little sophistication. And I said, well, I'll help you find it. And I did, and they did. Okay? Hey, there's people a whole lot more concise and a whole lot shorter in their preaching. okay? But I want to give you something, and I hope this will help you. We tell people when they testify, hurry up and get to the good part. Hurry up and get to the Jesus part. Don't talk a whole long time. We don't want to hear about your pit and how dirty the pit was and how stinky it was and how much it affected you, how you felt in the pit. No, we're familiar with pits. Different names. But what we do encourage people is hurry up and get to the good part. And the good part is Jesus. What did Jesus do for you? Because that's what we want to hear. That's what we need to hear. That's how the Holy Spirit whispers to people. It may be a different pit for them, but the Holy Spirit will say to them and bring hope to them that what I've done for others, I'll do for you. All right. I have pastors in our home. We minister to pastors, and we get the pastors together for a little fellowship and visiting and talking about the Lord. And recently, not too long ago, I'll just say it like this. I was sitting and listening. There was an older pastor, had a lot of experience, a lot of wisdom, and he was sharing with a young pastor. And the young pastor asked a question, and he began to share, and I thought, man, this is going to be so good. Well, I'm just going to tell you how it went. The older pastor began to tell all about me, 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 me. I. And didn't talk about Jesus. Now, maybe in a related form. But if you would have listened, if I would have recorded that conversation of this older pastor talking to the younger, it would have came out like an infomercial about him. Are you listening? I want to tell you, I was real disappointed. Because it was a great opportunity. Now, we don't promote ourselves. And please understand, I'm not promoting myself. Okay, no one knows. Well, my wife does. But no one more than me and my wife know how much it's got to be Jesus and not me. Okay, we're continually amazed. We continually say, wow. Romans 10:14, listen at this. How can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? Now, I want to tell you, we need to keep it about him. Those people out there don't need to hear about your preacher. They need to hear about Jesus. Okay? Hey, listen, talk about Jesus. What has Jesus done for you? Promote Jesus. How can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? How can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Now, this is kind of the Hebrew way of thinking. They start at one end, go to the other. The Western mindset starts at the other end and goes the other direction. Okay, I don't have time to explain that. I'm just telling you, you see that in Scripture. But it goes like this. I want to tell you the most important thing is that they hear about Jesus. The next most important thing is that they believe in him. They can't believe in him until they hear about him. They can't call on him and receive from him until they believe on him. They don't call until they believe. If you can talk someone into calling on the name of the Lord before they believe, it's wasted words. It's a miss. Okay, I had someone from a seminary locally that confronted me by something they heard on one of the sermons, and they said, it's the prayer that saves. I said, no, no. No, no. We can train a parrot to repeat. We can pay a Boy Scout to say a prayer. It's not the calling, it's the believing and calling. And so I want to tell you, they can't call and receive. You can't receive from the Lord till you believe. You got to believe in him. You can't believe in him until you hear about him. And so this is why it's so important. And so how would anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. This sounds like the good name of a women's ministry. Beautiful feet ministry. Because they bring good news and good tidings. Called. Called. You see, how can they go and tell without being sent? Now, this is one of the things we teach is that, you know what, there's a season between the calling and the sending. All right? Just because you call don't mean it's on immediately. Not full measure. One of the great things about the Lord is that we get to practice while we're learning. But there's a growing part. There's a calling and a sending. But I want to tell you, when the Lord sends, I want to tell you, He's the one that makes it happen. And but understand that there's a tween season between calling and sending. Beautiful feet are those that reveal the beautiful, majestic Savior. The Lord, the King, grace, obedience of faith. Remember that term? Hey, the cross. But not everyone welcomes the good news, verse 16 says. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? I want to tell you, you can so and wonder sometimes, is there anyone? I mean, Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes back to earth, will there be any faith? Will be anyone believing? I've been there and said that. Okay. Lord, who's believed our message? Not all believe. Listen real clearly. The good news is the report of the Lord. The Bible says, whose report are you going to believe? Some believe the bad news because they believe the report of the world. Now, I want to tell you, the enemy, well, let me just tell you this. 1 Peter 5:8 says that the enemy goes about as a roaring lion. I got something on this recently. It's going to be a sermon. It's not there yet. I've just worked on it a little bit. But something that hadn't ever quite hit me like this, and I'm just going to tell you this part. Is that, you know, the Bible said, 1 Peter 5:8, that he goes back like a roaring lion. Like. He's not one. Like, because he's an imposter. He's a liar. He pretends to be a lion. And I think that the key that brought me there was Proverbs 19:12, when it talks about the king's wrath. The king's wrath is like a roaring lion. Now, I want to tell you, on the cross, the wrath was taken care of by Christ. And so the enemy goes about like a roaring king, like a roaring lion, like authority, condemning, shaming, and blaming. And I want to tell you, he's a liar. He's an imposter. He will condemn you and make you think it's God doing it. You see the imposter? Okay. But so whose report? He's a liar. So whose report are you going to believe? I want to tell you which report you're going to believe. The one you listen to and embrace with your heart. Listen and embrace. That's the report you're going to believe. If you listen enough to the world report and not God's report, if you listen enough, your heart is going to embrace whatever seed you put in there. And your heart will embrace the lie. You've probably heard it said, a lie often told is soon believed. What you believe, we'll know what you believe because what you believe is what's going to come out of your mouth. Because that's Bible. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay. So faith, verse 17, faith comes from hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Do you get it? That is hearing the good news about Christ. Now that's why it's very, very important for you to tell people what Jesus said and what Jesus is saying. The message of Christ is forgiveness and grace. That's what he came for. And that's what people need to hear. And when they're hearing the words of Jesus, then I want to tell you, faith rises. Faith to believe and receive comes from hearing. Catch this, it's a continual action. It's not a one-time event. The words of Christ. When you're listening to the words of Christ or someone talking about the words of Christ or a message, a sermon that's Jesus-focused and not them-focused, not pastor-focused, but Jesus-focused, when you're hearing those words of Christ, hope comes up because the Holy Spirit's at work. While you're hearing the words of Jesus, the Holy Spirit paints a picture in your heart, on the screen of your heart, about what Jesus is and what Jesus wants to do with you. That's hope. Hope comes when you see and hear Jesus. And then faith comes with that. Faith is the essence of things hoped for. And so hope comes first. Faith indeed comes by hearing and hearing the good news of Jesus. Now, before this year is over with, we'll have over 300 episodes on podcast. That's a lot of hours. I can't say it's 300 hours because I don't preach that long. But what I'm saying, that's a lot of episodes. It's no wonder that people could take a series, kind of pick a series and listen to it on a long trip. And what I'm saying to you is this, is that technology innovations that's been given to our generation, we have an advantage over all the previous generations that's ever lived. Do you understand that? Now, to whom much is given, we ought to be taking advantage of it. Like never before, the Word of God is at our fingertips. We can see it, we can read it, we can hear about it. We can hear about Jesus. You cannot worry your problems away. As a matter of fact, worry is destructive. Okay? Very destructive. But I believe you can listen your problems away when you're listening about Jesus. One of our pastors a couple of years ago, and I'm not going to call their name because, again, I didn't ask permission for this. But at this particular time, I don't know if they still do it, but at this particular time, I thought this was really great. They were having trouble getting to sleep. And so they would listen to the audio Bible and fall asleep. I want to tell you, there's a whole lot right with that. A whole lot right with falling asleep, thinking on, hearing, meditating on the words of God. I want to tell you, I'm up early, very early. I'm not even going to tell you how early I got up this morning. Up early. But I want to tell you, there's times that, you know what? It's not the Lord waking me up. It's the enemy waking me up. But I want to tell you something. You can redeem the time. If you get woke up, you know what I do? I go ahead and get up and get into work. I practice meeting with Jesus. And you know what? I make him regret ever waking me up because I redeemed the time. And I want to tell you something, you're a whole lot better off if you've slept for 4 hours and you get woke up to go ahead and get in the Word of God and redeem the time versus laying there for 2 or 3 more hours being miserable. I'm just saying. You can't worry your problems away, but I believe you can listen your problems away. Hey, it's okay. We got these tools, and you're better at them than I am, but it's okay to use these tools for the honor and glory of God. It's okay to play games. A teenage girl that I was visiting with this year, I said, her mama doesn't work. And so I was asking, I said, well, tell me about y'all's routine. I mean, I can't imagine what you do. I mean, kind of help me out here. And she was talking about her routine, and it was kind of typical, to be honest with you. And then I said, well, what about your mom? Y'all kind of on the same page? Nobody knows this, she said, but my mom loves to play video games. I said, get out of here. She said, yeah, people don't know it, but she plays video games all the time. And so I asked the important question, can she beat you? Oh, I don't want to talk about that. Okay. Listen, it's okay to play games. It's okay to play music. It's okay to look at the news. I mean, I know people that want to say hi to the whole world on the Book of Faith. You know. Okay, that's okay. It's all right. I'm not down on that. You know, use those cool gadgets. But think of how great it would be if you would make listening about Jesus a daily priority. I'm not saying don't do the games. I'm not saying don't say hi to the world. But I'm saying let's let Jesus be priority and listen to him. You know what's going to happen. I want to tell you the side effect of that. You're going to encourage yourself in the Lord. I want to tell you what's going to happen to that. Okay? You're going to listen your way into winning the day. Now, I'm going to go ahead and jump ahead and just tell you this because I want you to understand it with a mindset. If you win the day today, and you win the day tomorrow, you know what? Even if you lose a day the next, I want to tell you, if you win more days than lose more days this week, I want to tell you something. You've had a greater week than you probably had in a long time. Do you understand that? When you put some winning weeks together, you have a winning month. When you put winning months together, do you get the idea? I want to tell you, you're going to look back on your life in 23 and said, I walked free in 23. I have more to thank God for. God, I allowed the Lord to show forth His mercy and loving kindness in my life than ever before because I was determined to win the day. Wow. Okay. David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And you know what? Pastor James wasn't there to play the piano for him. He didn't have his podcast. He didn't have anybody. Even his friends were talking about killing him. He wasn't in a popular position. It wasn't from people. It was between him and the Lord. And I want to tell you, if that can happen with David in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, it can happen with you in the New Covenant because we have a better covenant with better promises and a better relationship with God. You can encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen, Brother Tim. I recognize that there's a fight for your time and attention every single day. Man, there's so much that bombards us daily. There's always a phone call, always an email. There's always a to-do list. And before you know it, the day's gone. But what did we do with the master today? Don't tell me you didn't have time because we take time for those things and those people we deem important. You've heard me say it that the Bible does you no good on the shelf. If you leave it in the pages, does you no good. If it just enters your brain, it doesn't have the effect it needs to. It needs to be deposited in your heart. Incorruptible seed sowed in the soil of your heart, and you meditate on it to digest it. Hey, put the Bible on your phones. I mean, I require every teen, put the Bible on your phone. Do you ever wonder why at the end of a day you feel empty, stressed, worried, fearful, and depressed? Well, I'm going to give you a little hint. I'm going to point to the physical first because I think you'll understand that quick. But it goes like this. Sometimes, especially if I'm counseling during the day because they're back to back to back to back, and it'll come 4 o'clock in the afternoon or 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon when I finished up the last meeting of the day and getting ready for the night stuff, but this has happened a few times, is what I'm telling you. The beautiful blonde, we get to sit down and talk to each other for a few minutes. I get to flirt with her a little bit and try to catch up. And she'll ask me, so how you doing? And I remember saying that, you know what? I'm just going to confess to you, for you to agree with me, pray with me, but I'm feeling weak. I'm feeling really weak. And that happens sometimes in ministry, you know, you give. And she asked me, she said, did you eat anything for lunch? I said, no, I didn't have time for lunch. She said, well, what did you have for breakfast? Well, I had one of those little protein bars. She said, well, it's been a long day, and you might ought to take a few minutes to eat a little something. Disciple. Well, you know what? I want to tell you after having a little bit of soup, you know, I felt a lot better. After taking a little nap, I felt a lot more spiritual and ready for the night meetings. But I want to tell you, I wonder, in the spiritual picture the same way. Here we are, we find ourselves kind of at loss. We've kind of lost our way. We don't really sense any direction. And we're kind of discouraged and despondent. I wonder if we've taken time to feed on the master throughout the day. Because I want to tell you, he's our holy bread. He's our living water. And I want to tell you, a lot of times, and I'm not going to try to be physical health coach to you, at least now, But I'm just going to tell you this. A lot of times when people are feeling weak and they think, well, I'm hungry, they're really just thirsty. And I want to tell you, we need to drink more water than what we do. I've got some things on that, but that's not what I'm preaching on. But what I'm saying to you is that, you know what? You're feeling a little dehydrated spiritually? Drink some living water. Eat some holy bread. Take in and let the Lord nourish you and encourage you and minister to you. That's the way that we can win the week, the month, the season, the years. It's not perfection. It's not perfection. Are you listening? Saints, this little gift of simplicity, and I'm going to have to break this up. This little gift of simplicity, and I love what one pastor said, is straightforward simplicity. Okay? I have this little gift, and it's celebrated by some because, you know, you hear people say, I get it. But at the same time, there's others that say, that criticize and say, you know, that's a little too simple. I thought we were in children's church, or I thought we were in a youth meeting. But see, and sometimes they'll say, you know, I can't believe it's that easy. But, and I'm not defending that, because different people receive from different people in different ways, have different learning styles. But I believe that the things of God are really not complicated. And sometimes it's more caught than it is taught. And I want to tell you, children can catch it. We've been amazed at some of the testimonies because we promote people to watch the Chosen series. And we've been amazed at some of the testimonies of the little kids. Now, we got adults, we got pastors that we talk to that won't watch it. I'm amazed at those that do, those that don't. Those that do are really encouraged and excited. Those that don't think, well, I don't have time for that. But we're amazed at the little kids that watch it, that seems to be way over their head, and they catch it. And they get excited about Jesus. Is there anything wrong with that? I want to tell you, there's a whole lot right with that. But what I'm saying to you is this, is that when you hear about Jesus, and you practice hearing about Jesus, the Holy Spirit infuses you with hope. You get to see it. There's rhema. The light comes on. It's revelation. We had our leadership Christmas celebration last Wednesday night. That shows you what the schedule's been like. But I wrapped the presents, all except for the ribbon. The wife did that because they were Home Depot buckets. And we put the presents inside for each couple, you know? Okay, but listen to me. Part of the definition I shared with them about revelation is this. It means to reveal, revelation. It means to disclose. And one of the terms in Hebrew saying is to take the lid off. And so I was able to tell them, you want revelation of what's in the bucket? Take the lid off. And they did. But I want to tell you, that's for us. You know who helps us take the lid off of seeing Jesus in the Word and in our life is the Holy Spirit. He's our helper. And when you practice hearing about Jesus, hope comes and faith comes, revelation comes to see what He wants, who He is, and what He wants to do in your life. So don't underestimate the power of hearing about Jesus. Faith indeed comes by hearing and hearing and hearing about the good news of Jesus. Try and see. Win the day with Jesus. Hey. The Lord's not looking for perfection. I know how humans are. You know, it's on my list. I got to get it done. I got to spend how many minutes at it? I got to do it. Don't make it a rule and don't make it a law. You're in a relationship. And so you get up in the morning and you talk to Jesus. And you listen to Jesus. And you know what? He'll give you direction, even in the Word. He'll do that. And you know what? When you're looking for Him in the Word, the Holy Spirit will show you Jesus in the Word. And that's what transforms your life. When you have an encounter with the Lord on a regular basis, you'll be saying, like the little missing Miss disciple on the road to Emmaus, you'll be saying like them, didn't our heart burn within us when the Lord was ministering His word, revealing, revelation, disclosing, opening the lid of the bucket and letting us see Him? We were changed. We saw Him clearly. That's what Jesus wants. Okay, I'm going to have to stop right there. And I want you to know that this year we can walk free in 23, not because of who you are, not because of who we are, not because of the singing or the preaching, but because of the message, because of Jesus. And so practice listening your way into revelation. Jesus wants you to know Him. The Holy Spirit is aggressive about revealing Jesus to you if you'll dare give Him a chance. Practice hearing and hearing and hearing. Hope comes. Faith comes. And you're able to respond in obedience to what Christ wants. How exciting is the Lord? This can be the greatest year of your life because of Jesus. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, we give You praise. We celebrate Your goodness. We declare, Lord, great revelation to be upon Your people. I speak in the name of Jesus and release that fresh touch of desire, that grace desire on the heart of everyone listening right now. And we just declare that the Holy Spirit will witness that desire to come to receiving and listening and seeing You in the Word that You want us to receive. You paid a high price for us to receive and to see Your promises with our name on them. Thank You, Lord, that Your crucifixion was personal for each one of us. And the price has been paid for us to win the day. And we give You celebration. And all the team said, hallelujah and praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a thank you.